Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Well, stay standing for a moment. We're just excited to be here and be at Pneuma. And whether you're visiting tonight, whether you really know God intimately or you feel like you don't deserve God's love and acceptance, God loves you. God loves me. His presence changes everything. And great to have Marie in a few moments. We're going to watch a documentary about some of the journey we had facing cancer. And I hope it encourages you. And then we're going to take some time after we share a few thoughts and messages, aren't we, Marie? And we're going to pray for people. We're believing for the miraculous power of God. You can't conjure up a miracle, but you can create an environment.
Yeah.
Where you say, God, I can't do this, I can't get through that. But God says, well, if you trust me and you step in, and that's why this morning we talked about hope is the birthplace of faith. And if you were here in the morning, just the encouragement that we all want to see the miraculous, that happens because of faith. By faith, we move mountains. By faith, we see the impossible made possible. But hope is the birthplace of faith, and the enemy's ground is attacking our hope. So our feelings get in the way. In fact, we're in a world that just accepts the way you feel is what you are. Whereas I go, no, we are what God says we are. And that His power and His presence can turn the impossible into the possible. And we're going to share a bit of that story.
Yeah, one thing in this season that we have had to do is keep our hope alive and have our hope follow on and be a forerunner for faith to believe that God is going to do a miracle. We found out in September of 2021, when Paul was on a bike. It was during a COVID season. He was on a push bike going for a ride. He actually went very early in the morning before I was awake, got a phone call, which woke me up to say that he'd had an accident. And there was a lady who was a toothless, homeless lady living in her car. And she had opened the door, and Paul didn't see it. We didn't know at the time, but she opened the car door of her car. She was rummaging around in the car. He went straight into the door of the car, which led us on a journey over a period of 6 weeks where his mind was all over the place. He couldn't focus, and it led us to a place where we got medical help, only to discover that he had stage 4 inoperable melanoma cancer. So we're just going to go to the screen and watch.
Why don't we be seated first?
Yes,
that
true.
Might be cool. And what shooter? Just open your heart. Just think about this. What do you do when you get the diagnosis that you have stage 4 inoperable terminal melanoma cancer with less than 3 months to live? Let's go to the screen. Incredible story and incredible learnings along the way. I want you to think about this. We may see further in light, as I just said. But you know what? We go deeper in darkness. And there are treasures that obviously we only can find at times because we're faced with impossibility. I still have challenges, as you heard. Marie joins with me to speak now. People are enjoying her more than me. The truth being is I still have trouble seeing. It wasn't that long ago I couldn't read anything on a page. I could see words that I should be able to work out, and my brain wouldn't let me work it out. But today, to be seeing a continual increase of God's touch. And I want to encourage you that if you've been believing God for a miracle, don't give up just because you haven't seen it yet. And some people have said to me, well, if God's healed you from cancer, and by the way, this top oncologist, he doesn't profess to be a man of faith, but he says, I've got to accept this as a miracle. And it's unexplainable, naturally speaking, because there was no natural medical answer that could be given. I mean, to have 12 spots of cancer or thereabouts in my lungs, let alone cancer in the brain of that proportion. It's easy to give up when you're faced with impossibility, but you know what we did experience, Marie and I have often talked about the fact is that in the depths and the struggles of the darkness and the challenges of the prognoses, we had this incredible, unending peace. Even when we heard the diagnosis, we had to face it and be real with it. But we had peace. And really, if you wanted a title, I like titles for messages because I like to know what I'm doing. But we want to share about the pathway of peace. How you can find peace in the greatest of human challenges. And the fact is, life is not easy and you may be facing severe complications and challenges and you haven't seen a miracle. But the greatest miracle is you can have peace in the middle of the challenge. So we're going to read from John chapter 14 and verse 25.
This is Jesus speaking. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid.
It's amazing that God's word says we have a responsibility to face the fear, face the things that cause us to be afraid, to give up. And he suggests that we need to unwrap a gift called peace. That there is a peace that only Jesus can give us, not our gifting, not our success. You could be the most successful person on the planet, but not have an inner peace that is sustained through the worst and the most greatest of challenges. And in the middle of that, God meets us. And you might say, well, Paul, practically, how do we find this pathway to peace? How do we experience how to get there? And we want to give you a couple of thoughts, not for very long, because we want to pray for people tonight. But the first thought would be this: peace is the outcome of God-rich environments. If God is the author of peace, if his presence is more than a worship song. It's more than a stance that you take. Peace is the presence of Jesus. And when we get close to Jesus, a God-rich environment will bring peace. If it causes angst, it's not God-rich. And there's something about the presence of God that we need to understand. The enemy is always going to work to isolate us. But what do we need to stay in? God-rich environments. That's why we need to be in the house of God. That's why we need to be where the presence of God is honored and looked to, and to reach out to that. And of course, the first time we had the surgery, it was pretty challenging.
It was very challenging. But one of the things we did know to do in talking about surrounding yourself in God-rich environments was to make sure that we showed up when we were able to go to church, when it wasn't a time where Paul was in hospital or too sick. We wanted to be where the presence of God was, in the house of God, where faith-filled people were. We had so many people praying all over the world for us, but that was really important and evident to us that we needed to surround ourselves in God-rich environments.
I think we'll put the photo up on the screen. This was the first surgery, the brain surgery that took place, the 38 stitches or staples. And they actually made it very clear that it was quite likely we wouldn't live through the surgery. And if we did, we would be severely restricted. And I've always had some level of restrictions. I'm Dutch and we don't get everything right. And there's all sorts of things that I could play on and have fun with. But the fact is, God's peace was there. And we just committed ourselves to being where he was. And in the middle of that, so there on that photo that's there on the screen, you can see what the size of one of the tumors, which was 5 centimeters. There was another one behind that of 3 centimeters, and then another spot. That's the photo, I think, on the right-hand side. And then next to that is after they took that tumor out. And obviously, the body itself had to repair and fill the space where the tumor had occupied. And that damaged the optic nerve, which caused the challenge with reading and being able to see. But by God's grace, we've been through seizures.
Yeah, in the first year, we had plenty of reasons not to feel the peace of God because it was hectic, to say the least. He had 2 major brain surgeries. He had his gallbladder removed. He had a lump on his neck that they weren't sure if it was cancer or not removed. He had a code red in the hospital where they thought they couldn't get his temperature down and nurses running everywhere. He had severe damage by the immunotherapy. He had every 3 weeks for 2 years immunotherapy, lots of needles, lots of ambulance rides from just emergencies at home where we couldn't control this temperature that was going on, so he'd be back and forth. It was like hectic, full on. It felt like we had a fire hose blasting in our face for about the first year. There were so many things going on. But in the midst of it, the crazy thing was we just knew God was with us. He just was walking so close with us and really showed us all the way that he was there in many, many different ways, but we experienced his peace.
I remember one night, it was so dark. It was in COVID. Even Marie couldn't come and visit. So many things going on in my body, racing temperatures, all kinds of things, more catastrophic than that. And I got to the darkest point I think I've ever been in my life, where for the first time I could understand how a human being could take their life. Never thought of suicide, but I could understand the depth of the darkness. And I remember crying out to God. We're talking about peace comes from God proximity. So I went to God and I said, God, what's this all about? And I felt the whisper of the Holy Spirit where God just whispered to me, it's for a bigger purpose. And that became something that was a lifeline to us, and it caused the peace of God to invade our situation. And some of you are going through things that seem impossible and unexpected, but you've got to realize that if we respond, there's a bigger purpose. The enemy means to destroy us, but God's going to use it if we keep going and allow his peace to sustain us. And so we said to each other many times, we would pray together and just say, this is for a bigger purpose. I wouldn't be here tonight. We wouldn't be here tonight sharing this with you had we not gone through it, to bring hope to others that are facing impossible situations. Because when the presence of God invades, you can get through it all. And I remember when I was going in for, was it the first or second sessions, surgery? First surgery. So I have it ringing in my ears that medically speaking, you most probably won't live through this. And Marie, why don't you tell us about what you did in the moment when I was facing that first surgery that could be the end of my life here on earth?
We found out on the Friday that the surgeon could do the surgery on the Monday. He called us to say, are you up for it or do you want to think about it? And we said, no, we're going to go ahead with it. And that few days before Paul went into the operation, we had talked together and said our goodbyes just in case Paul didn't get through the surgery, made sure there was nothing between us, and it was a good feeling to know that we had not held on to anything. There was no regrets. And should Paul not wake up from the surgery, we were good between each other. But the first thing I knew to do the morning of the surgery, I thought I can either worry or I can worship. So I chose to lay on the bed during the 6.5 hours of the operation. I put Spotify worship on my heart, my phone over my heart. And I lay on my bed and knew the only way I knew to fight in the right way was on my knees or surrendered to God. So I worshiped for all that time, listening to the worship music. Sometimes I felt very strong, other times many tears streaming down my face. But I had this, what I can only call a heavenly encounter, where I had a vision, and it was, I saw a Holy Spirit, a dove hovering around Paul's head in the operating theater. One of my fears or my heartaches as a wife was to know he was going to be all alone, knowing how he would feel with what he was about to experience. So I just really pray that the peace of God would be with him. And I saw this like dove hovering over Paul's head. And I felt like this was the hand of God, the Holy Spirit. And God's showing me, I'm in the room with Paul. He's going to be okay. And then I looked up and a cloud parted. And I felt like I saw angels looking down. And just the heavenly exchange of the excitement that the angels had when the birth of Jesus Christ, the miracle that was about to take place when Jesus was born, I felt the same anticipation for that miracle was about to take place in Paul's life, and just was filled with the love of God and the peace of God, knowing that it's going to be okay. And then I don't know how long this lasted, but as I was worshiping, I just saw the cloud open up, and I felt like the Holy Spirit just went back up, and I felt God say, "It's finished. A miracle has happened." I just knew that a miracle had happened. But then we had to walk out that process when Paul came through. But the next morning, the lunchtime that day, our son Luke came to make sure that I was okay. And I explained to him what had happened. And then within a half an hour, the surgeon called to say, "It's been successful. We got all the tumor. There's just one spot we're going to do radiation on." And here he is today.
There's a great verse in Isaiah 26 and verse 3. This is the Bible. "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah," that's the name of God, "the Lord is
everlasting strength."
He gives everlasting strength. You're looking for the answer to life, and the challenges of this world is peace. But peace requires God proximity. And when we get that into play and we don't allow the challenge to be on the front of our vision, but the fact that God is with us more than we'll ever know. And so that's the first one, is that we have to make sure that we understand peace is the outcome of God-rich environments. The second thought would be this: peace is experienced when we position the past behind us. As somebody who's done a bit of life, and we've done that together, you've got to realize that yesterday is gone. Some of us are living under the voice of yesterday. It's like, "Yeah, but what if that happens again?" Yesterday's gone. Let's leave yesterday. Let's bury yesterday. Come on, even the successes, don't live your life on previous successes. Begin to believe God for a greater tomorrow.
That's great.
Come on, I need an amen or two. It's like, let the past go. The enemy wants you to keep focused on the past. But if you want peace, you've got to leave the past behind you. And so we could live. The first specialist, brain specialist, surgeon, said, "I've studied all of the scans and there is no way we can do surgery." So you know what we did? We put that behind us and said, "Let's find a surgeon who's got some credentials that'll give it a go." And we found this old surgeon. He says, "I've studied it. I'll give it a go." We had no other choice. I said, "You give it a go, we'll give it a go." In 3 days, we were going into that first surgery. And that could be the end of all the time we had with all our children, grandchildren, everyone we loved, everything that we'd believed for. But you've got to position the past behind you. Come on tonight. Who's your loudest voice?
Yeah.
Your disappointment? Is it the lie of the enemy you're accepting? Is it the fact that you failed and you feel shameful about that? Why don't you surrender it to Jesus tonight and put it behind you?
Yeah.
You can't live in peace with the past still speaking to you.
Yeah.
That's why Jesus died for our sin, so that we could be forgiven every time we come to him and leave it at his feet. And I just want to encourage you that we can move into tomorrow when we let go of the past behind us. There's so many challenges along the way. We don't have time to do it, but I remember going in for the first surgery and it was like pretty petrified. There was about maybe a dozen people in the medical team getting ready for this big brain operation that was going to take 6 hours. And I was just saying, "Lord, I need you right now." And this charge nurse came in, and a beautiful Indian charge nurse, and said, "Pastor Paul." And I said, "Hello." She says, "I come to life." I said, "Praise God." She says, "I've come to pray for you. I told them that I wanted to pray and they said I couldn't pray before the surgery, so I went up higher." That's an answer in life. Go up higher. And the higher people said, the people further up the chain said, "If he's asking, he's about to face a major surgery, you can pray for him." And so she laid her hands on me. Listen to this. And peace God proximity, leaving the prognosis of some people that said it's impossible behind us. Some of you have got to let go of yesterday. And if you do, you can walk into a bright tomorrow. Amen. Is that encouraging and helpful?
Go. She became the tangible angel that, as I was praying and worshiping God and asking that peace came, it came through this nurse that knew Paul, which was amazing. But with the 5 days, after the first brain surgery, Paul had to go through radiation for the smaller spot that was in his brain. He had to have 5 days in a row of radiation. And I remember that time where they had to put a mask, they molded a mask to fit his face and bolted his head to the table so that he didn't move when they did the radiation, which is a horrific thing. We still have the mask up in the attic. When I was thinking about that and praying for today, I was like, some people here tonight may feel like you're trapped, may feel like you're pinned down and that you're not going to get out of the situation you're in. But when we yield to God and when we surrender to God, we can know that peace and He can help us take that trapped feeling away and give us the peace that we need to walk through that. But there have been many, many challenges along the way. A year later, the second surgery was because the radiation that was needed to take the spot away had side effects called radionecrosis, which mimics a tumor. So Paul's brain swelled and looked like it was a tumor. He had to go in for the second operation. It wasn't a tumor, thankfully, but it was radionecrosis, which would had its own challenges along the way. But God was there all the way along, and His peace has carried us all the way through.
When you discover the peace of God in the worst, you're at peace. I want you to hear this. This is more than just a preaching session.
Yeah.
This could change the whole trajectory of your life. When you realize when you have Jesus, when you turn it over, you turn yourself, your failure, your successes over to Him. Peace comes because of God proximity. Not only that, it's position when we position the past behind us. And the final thought would be this, the pathway of peace. Peace
conquers
when we choose to trust God and trust His purpose. I think we touched on that in the morning. Did you know that when things don't turn out the way we're believing, then we've still got to trust God's purpose? And so therefore, you imagine getting your sons together and the grandchildren that were old enough to talk them through this. And I felt in the middle of that I wanted to get our three boys all married, got grandchildren. And I just wanted to say, as I was facing that first surgery, I said, as a dad, I want us to have an hour each, possibly one of the most challenging three-hour periods of my life where I'm facing death, there's no medical answer. We know that God can heal, doesn't always happen the way we want it to happen. So I had to face the reality of death. It wasn't a lack of faith. Faith is being real with every situation. If you've got cancer, you got cancer, but God's bigger than cancer.
Yeah.
You don't have to buy into all of this, oh, well, you're just causing a curse to come on you. That's a load of rubbish. It's a matter of God is in control and I trust God.
Yeah.
And I trust that God has got a purpose even if it's time to go. So when we had to go through the surgery twice, we made sure that we planned the future. If I did die, we'd been wise with everything we could do naturally because we trusted God's purpose. But you've got to trust God has a purpose even when things don't turn out the way you've believed. God has a purpose. And so I've still got limitations, but God has a purpose for that. I'm not going to give up because I got limitations. I'm going to use those limitations to say, I know what it feels like to live with limitation and we can find help. We can do it different ways. And actually God is going to use that more powerfully. So can I just encourage you to really trust God? And with the boys, that hour was incredible. It was like, hey guys, one-on-one. I said, this might feel strange because it certainly feels strange for me as a dad. But maybe there are things I've done as a dad that have hurt you. Maybe there's been things I've done unintentionally or even intentionally that have been wrong. And we need to talk about that because I might not be here tomorrow. And maybe you have done things that you feel shameful about and hidden. Why don't we have an hour where we just exchange heart and be completely honest with us? Because we've got to believe that God has a bigger purpose for all of this. And so we did that. And do you know what? One of our boys who had sort of found it hard in his relationship with God, he had it in early years, but went through some horrific challenges. He saw Jesus in that 1 hour because of the openness of the exchange, that God has a purpose, even in the greatest loss here in human life. Hey, one day we're all gonna die. We put too much ownership on or onus on this life rather than the life to come. Come on, let's be people that trust God's purpose. God doesn't cause damage. He doesn't cause death. He doesn't cause sickness. He allows it at certain times for a bigger purpose. And when you get that, you don't stop when you're challenged. You push through with the challenge to bring Him glory. Is this making sense for anyone today? It's challenging, but you've got to release the outcome to God and yet stand in faith for the miraculous. You know, so one of the things that happened, one of the darkest nights, we're talking about God's purpose. I remember being in a hospital on my own, and it came to mind, I hadn't used it only a couple of times, but I remembered there was an app on my phone that could record when I was very weak and couldn't even get cognitive ability really working. And so I found the app and I recorded the 7 second clip, which talks about relying on God's purpose. We've got it live now, so we're gonna play that.
Committed to God's purpose more than His promise.
Get the feel? Darkest, desperate, facing the reality that my life outside of a miracle was over. And this is how I responded. Let's play it again.
Committed to God's purpose more than His promise.
When you get to a place, listen, when you get to a place where you're committed to God's purpose, even over His promises, you find peace. A lot of God's promises have an eternal perspective. He says we should pray and believe for it in the now, and we're going to pray right now or very shortly for miracles. But sometimes those miracles don't happen in our now, but are used in the eternal purpose of God. And when you get that, you find peace.
Yeah.
Rather than questioning God, you say, God, You are the God that created the universe. You make the final call and You've promised You'll work all things together for good.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
And I believe that's it. A couple of scriptures that God gave to us.
Yeah, again, the morning we came to see Paul after he first got put in hospital when they were still doing tests, he was not cognitive at the time. He said to us when we came in the morning, God spoke to me and has given me these 3 scriptures. They're not scriptures I'd been thinking about. He didn't really know even what was in them, but he told us they were Psalm 20 to Psalm 21 and Psalm 61. And they became the foundation for us to do the spiritual fighting that we needed to do in prayer. And every day for the next 2 years, we prayed those scriptures over Paul's life. And some of the verses in the scriptures, one was from Psalm 61. It says, "For You, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear Your name. You will prolong the king's life, his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him." And then Psalm 27 says, "May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you." It goes on to say in Psalm verse 7, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." And they became scriptures that our church took hold of and our friends took hold of and we took hold of and really stood on those words that God gave us, because we knew when we came in that morning and Paul shared with us that God had spoken to him, we knew without a doubt it had to be God, because he was not cognitive in a very healthy place at all. So we knew that he didn't get those scriptures himself, but they came from God. So they became what we stood on and we still stand on today. Some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God.
God's got you. God sees it all and he's not frustrated. He knows that the Father's timing is perfect. When you get to that place, you live in a peace that no natural thing can give you. And even if today I had more restrictions around my natural body or natural pilgrimage, I'd like to believe that I'll still be doing everything I can within my capabilities to make God great. Because one day, for those that have given their lives to Christ, they will face an eternity where there is no sickness, no regret, no pain, no ongoing effects from what we've gone through in this life. We're free forever. That's not a pipe dream. That comes from the creator of the universe. And God says, I got you. Just trust me with it. And when you trust the purposes of God, remember, God doesn't make anything that's damaging, but God will use what the enemy wanted to destroy us with for his glory. Because true faith is seen its brightest when we stand in the middle of difficulty praising God. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Tonight, we're just going to follow what the Holy Spirit wants to do for a few moments. It's a miracle night tonight. It might just not just be a healing in a natural body. It may be that. It may be something that reoccurs from the past that just eats away. You know, we have a lot of challenge with mental health today. Some of it, and I would say a major portion of it, is to do with a lack of inner peace. God is the author of peace. Peace settles the heart, it settles the mind, it settles us into a place. And so we drift away from God and we allow the circumstances to dominate and the real feelings. But peace changes it all. And tonight, if you need a miracle, no matter how small, how great, we're going to do our best just to lay our hands on everybody tonight that needs a miracle, is believing God for a shift. Because today I'm a miracle. To have the oncologist who is yet to really surrender to God, but a lovely guy, and we've built the best relationship, to go on camera is unheard of. Because he knows there's something different. God's got something different for you. And tonight, we're going to have testimonies. I walked into a cancer treatment place where I was getting treatment. There's a guy sitting on his own, and I was about to get my treatment. He was down, and he was just dark. And I just walked over to him and said, you doing all right, mate? And he says, oh, the facts are that I've just found out I got terminal cancer and I'm here for treatment. And I said, ah. Anyway, we got talking, discovered that I know his father. And so we talked about, and by the end of the conversation, I said, this might feel intrusive and I don't want it to be that, but would you mind if I prayed for you? You know what he said? Would you? It's young kids facing death. So I laid my hands on him just in the waiting room and prayed for him. Long story short, he ended up coming to church, gave his life back to Jesus. Today, he is cancer free. He's completely healed. We could tell so many stories about God's power. So I'm not downplaying the miraculous. I'm just giving it, again, understanding what is wrapped around it. So if you need a miracle tonight, I want you to stand to your feet wherever you are. Come on, you're just saying, I need a miracle. I want a supernatural miracle. This month is about miracles. It's about God stepping in where we can't see a change ourselves. And that's not shameful. We should be positively strong to say, I'm up for a miracle. I need God because I'm going to trust him with my outcome. I'm going to put the past behind me. I'm going to stay in God-rich environments and I'm going to see the peace of God. Come on, everybody that's standing, I want you to come out of your seat and come to the front because we're just going to believe God as we lay. We've got leaders as well. And I'd love it if we could sing the song team, "I Just Want to Speak the Name of Jesus." Because I believe there's power in His name. It's not about the style of worship. It's not about the situation. It's about the name of Jesus. Can you say amen to that? Come on, just push in. Make your way to the front, spread out. We've got room on the side. And we need all the leaders we can. And we're just going to walk and we're just going to lay hands as we worship. But again, I'd like you, if you're coming for a miracle, just to look at me. There is no power in these hands. But there's power in these hands that are dedicated to Jesus. God's presence is here already. And we're going to believe there are many, many testimonies about how God in a moment turned impossible things away. In a moment. How many would like to be free of fear? Nobody. How many would like to be free of fear of the challenges that plague us? And just say, "God, you need to step in." So don't look to me, look to Jesus. And we're going to pray and we're going to believe God. Amen? So if you're wanting a miracle, I encourage you to lift a hand or two. Open your heart and just say, "God, I'm coming to you. I'm believing tonight to be a shift night that I'll look back on and I'll share how that God stepped in and worked a miracle." Father, we ask you to open heaven as we worship you tonight, as we sing and speak your name over the impossibility. God, we just believe that you're going to come, turn things around. As we walk past you, you can just speak what you're praying for, or you can just receive. And we're going to believe God to move powerfully. Come on, let's sing, team.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.